Order the Education Committee. First item on the agenda is the approval of minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, next we have public comments. Do we have any public comments? You have 3 minutes. State your name and address, please.
My name's Kevin Kinney. My address is a matter of record. I'm here to discuss an issue that emanated at a school. Ms. Whitley, Ms. Corley, you're well aware of the situation. This occurred a couple of years ago when the mayor tried to release a police report and expose a child who had been bullied for several years. Turns out it's a sick child. It's pretty egregious and disgusting conduct. The courts agreed. The town did stand by the child for a brief period, and the court said that what the mayor was trying to do was not allowed. So fast forward to April last year, and it was brought up at a council meeting. The mayor took it upon himself to completely fabricate an incident and make the victim, as well as the family, look in a very poor light, essentially lying about a police report on the public record, stating that there was no cause for the report, and none of the exact words. You've all been provided with it in writing. So the question becomes, Ms. Corley, as a principal, or I don't know if you're a former principal now, but I know you're an education professional for decades. Do you ignore that type of conduct when a child is harmed by someone in power? Or by anyone, really? I mean, I can't imagine you driving past the scene of a child being beaten in the street. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine you ignoring any kind of egregious conduct against a child, but somehow this gets ignored. And I'm not placing it just on you. This is on the whole council. But we have three of you here so we can have a better conversation. You know, we don't drive by when a child's being harmed. And a police officer who drove past a child being harmed would probably be fired, I would think. I'd like to think so. The chief's here, maybe he could clarify. I don't think that would be allowed. I don't think a firefighter could drive past a child being harmed and get away with it. It's just not allowed. It's not what a decent society does, what decent people in a decent society ever do. Yeah, is there risk? Maybe. Maybe risk in helping the child. You know, you may face political risks. I don't know, you're being bullied. There's a history with the mayor of bullying people. I mean, some of it's been exposed by the press in writing. I have no reason to discount what they say, just have to take it on face value. And I wonder, are people compromised on this council? How could you ignore this conduct? How? I mean, Ms. Whitley, you're trained as an attorney. You're a mom. Is it okay if your kids were targeted for a political vendetta? Multiple years later, lying about it on the public record, is that okay? I don't think it is, and I see you looking down. You know, it's fine, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me as well. But at some point, some decency has to arise on this council to address what occurred. And I'm not talking about there's other ways to do it. There may be. There may be. The political side is lies were placed on the record, on video, it's posted on the town's website, defamatory lies about a child and her family. At what point do the decent people say, enough is enough, that needs to be addressed? You know, I'm not going to just go away. I'm not driving off into the sunset.
It's time.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. Somebody needs to step up and do something.
Okay, any other public comment? All right, next item is the update on sharing of the facilities. So this is an open discussion between us. We have a 2006 agreement with CCSD, and met with CCSD and Mr. Barowi and Kate Darby as well, and we will be redoing that agreement that was last done in 2006. I believe it was updated in 2016. So we'll be looking for input from Steve and the rec department. We'll be opening up, the gyms will be opening back up at CCSD, which is very important. Eric, any other input from that discussion?
No, sir.
the review and redo of the agreement is timely. As you know, some of the facilities that are mentioned in there have been reconstructed elsewhere and don't apply. Also, a couple of things we've learned over time is the town does have the right of first refusal in many CCSD facilities when it comes to recreation. What happens, though, is right of first refusal does not mean you're next in line. There could be another school need. Teacher may need a facility or someone else on staff. And so the town, we're pushing through the agreement as best as possible to get access right after organized school events have completed. And that should help a little bit. We also expect to get some help with gymnasiums. We've always had access to gyms, still do. COVID put a damper on that, but the district is opening up their gymnasiums for greater use.
It's also a heavy concentration on the arts as well was a very large part of that discussion. Hopefully opening up Lucy Beckham and Wando to the original agreement with Wando and helping with the arts. So the input from this education committee and council would be appreciated as well. Do you guys have anything to add?
So what you're saying is that, what we're saying is that they actually said, we're going to take a look at it and you're going to get some yeses instead of nos.
Oh, yes.
That's incredible. Good job.
Yes.
I can't wait to see that first yes, because usually it's been, I can't think of a yes on record. It's always no, you know, so that's going to be.
We'll go for 100 yeses so we get 50.
That first yes, I think we need to celebrate that. Take a picture. That's going to be nice. No, good job.
I don't have anything to add. Just great work. Okay. And thank you.
And we also have a meeting, and obviously it would be a quorum, but I have a meeting with Cary, North Carolina, and their team on Wednesday. Cary does an excellent job with collaborating with their county school district. They've got wonderful facilities up there, as do we, but one very large part of their facilities and the ability to use them is their collaboration with their school district, their county school district. So they're bringing in their whole team on a Teams meeting on Wednesday. So I will update you after that. Okay, excellent.
Awesome, thank you.
All right, next item is the Youth Council update on mental health needs.
Good morning, committee. My name is Lauren. You all know that I'm the staff liaison to the Youth Council. It's a privilege to work with these teens in our community. They are incredibly passionate about the work that they are doing. And today, we're very fortunate to have Gracie Cannon here. She's going to be presenting to you all some information about teen mental health. They've been working a great deal about making sure that there is a heightened level of awareness about the teen mental health struggles, particularly in our community. But also the lack of resources. So I'd like to invite Gracie up. She's a senior at Oceanside Academy, and she's going to present some information to you.
Welcome.
Thank you
for showing up.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Acquafano and committee members. So my name is Graciana Cannon. I'm a senior at Oceanside Collegiate Academy. I'm a member of the Youth Council, and today I'm here to talk about the importance of teen mental health in South Carolina and the serious lack of equitable access to needed resources to help prevent and protect the mental health of our youth. And the COVID-19 pandemic only increased the prevalence of mental health issues among teens in our community and across the nation. So I'm going to start off with a little bit of some facts and statistics. 1 in 6 U.S. youth aged 16 through 17 experience a mental health disorder each year. 53,000 South Carolinians aged 12 through 17 have depression. 2,304,799 people in South Carolina live in a community that does not have enough mental health professionals. High school students with depression are 2 times more likely to drop out than their peers, and 56.2% of South Carolinians aged 12 through 17 who have depression did not receive any care in the last year. This inability to get adequate treatment can lead to self-medication, which can include drug and alcohol abuse. Alcohol is a significant factor in the deaths of people younger than age 21 in the United States each year. This is from car accidents, homicides, alcohol overdoses, falls, burns, drowning, and suicides. Further, the use of marijuana may increase the risk of anxiety, depression, and a series of attitude and personality changes. Self-harming behaviors are often co-occurring with eating disorders and substance abuse, and teens have the highest rates of self-harming behaviors. Another factor in today's youth and mental health is bullying, more specifically cyberbullying. Research suggests that children and youth who are bullied over time are more likely to experience depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, sleep difficulties, lower academic achievement, and dropping out of school. About 37% of young people between the ages of 12 and 17 have been bullied online. 30% have had it happen more than once. One out of every five students report being bullied, both online and in person. Students who experience bullying are at an increased risk. Students who are both targets of bullying and engage in bullying behavior are at greater risk for both mental health and behavior problems. So not just the victims, but the bullies as well. And there's an increased prevalence in teen suicides due to bullying. In fact, I believe just nationally, if you just turn on the news, there's a case of a 12-year-old boy who ended his life this month, due to mental anguish caused by reoccurring bullying at school. And some of my own personal experience with witnessing some of this stuff is I've seen many of my peers in extreme distress over their academics and athletics, usually because of pressure from parents to excel, the desire to attend college or their dream college, or the fear of failing and disappointing. I'm aware of peers my grade below, that currently take anxiety medication. Only a few schools have certified mental health professionals available to support students. Most guidance counselors at schools are not certified mental health professionals, and guidance counselors are more preoccupied with college prep than, you know, helping with mental health. There are long waiting lists to see private mental health counselors in our community. And even if students ask for help, many times the support needed is not available. Youth Council and Town Council have signed a letter to the state legislative delegation to help fund mental health counselors in our schools. We also intend to reach out to organizations to see about offering virtual support sessions. We would like any support this committee can offer in getting more mental health resources into our schools.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
I just have a comment. With all the relief from the feds, right, through the COVID funding, a lot of, I don't even think there's a cap on how much money you can spend from those funds on mental health counselors. And I think it's just going to take schools a minute to get there, but the funding is definitely there. There's money for extra licensed counselors that aren't going to have a caseload. They're not going to have testing. They're not going to be worried about college. Their only concern is going to be mental health for their students. So, if that's not being addressed, that's just incompetence, because I think the funding is there. So, I feel good about this getting better and better, but that was an awesome presentation. I'm proud of you.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
Thank you.
Lauren, there was something that we saw for federal funding, didn't we?
Yes, sir. And I believe with that, there was a particular cap on the amount of funding that each school could receive, which, with what these practitioners would be charging, maybe one or two people per school at most in terms of the funding available. And so I think that's certainly an avenue, but you look at the enrollment numbers for any of the schools here, they would certainly need more than one to two certified mental health counselors. So that was one of the challenges, but something that the Youth Council is looking into is exploring different resources in terms of grants for mental health resources for schools specifically to try and pass them along. One of the things that I have learned in working with the Youth Council is that they are very engaged with their administration. They have their ears, and so trying to just pipeline this information up and saying, hey, this is something that we want, we need, please look into it. So that is one of the items, but certainly more help will be needed than just that one particular grant.
I guess the big thing for Gracie is how can we, what can we do to help? What can we do to help you?
I would just say money and funding. With my own experience, Oceanside, we do have a mental health counselor, and it's been an impact on our school, definitely, when, especially with SAT and SCT prepping. I know many students go to her, and it really helps when they can't go to kindness counselors. And I guess we just want to not just have it at one school. We want to have it at multiple schools, public schools.
Do you have somebody full-time at Oceanside now?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good. Yes, sir. So I guess just money for funding and having more mental health specialists in public schools.
Yeah, I think when I was at Youth Council, I think you mentioned that they only have, maybe some schools only have somebody coming in once a week or one day out of five, or,
yes,
or what is that typical that you're seeing?
I would say yes, sir.
If you think about it, I think a lot of that, I'm not sure, I'm not at those other schools, but that's a choice, right? So the district puts caps on, right? They design your, how you're going to spend your COVID money, how much you can spend on this and that. But what I'm saying is, I think it could put pressure on the district to release those funds to the schools to, you know, focus on that. Because a lot of times those counselors too get bogged down with other stuff.
I guess we could find out exactly what CCSD has available, as far as funding is concerned, and what the cost is to have somebody in the school, and that we're looking for that.
Well, and I think that there is opportunity due to COVID for, you mentioned a little bit about telehealth. There are counselors that, I know someone who was working on a startup that was basically through like Amazon Alexa, where you could be like, Amazon Alexa, I need to schedule like a counseling appointment. And so if there could be something for the students to have a partnership with the district, with a telehealth company, that they could be sort of available, that would be something.
Excellent
interesting.
Idea, yes.
And there's money for that, right? They're getting ready to spend like, what, $33 million on some huge new.
We don't know what it is.
Yeah, we don't know what it is. So we could definitely help with that. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Yes. And with that, we have no more items. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you. That was good. The Youth Council is very powerful.
It's cool, right?
Yeah, it is very cool. It's very cool. Say hi.